ماشي زي الجنة.
These are.
اوكي ناخذ يدا تو somewhere hiding. اوكي let's begin. We're on the home base. Now, if you remember, the last thing we saw was a story mentioned in the Gemara, and it was not entirely clear why it was mentioned in the Gemara at all. The Gemara had been speaking about this concept of you must not paskin a shayla, a Talmud in front of his Rebbe, and not just in front of, if he's anywhere in the vicinity, the Gemara says, until a distance of 3 parsois. That was one halacha. Then all of a sudden, the Gemara says a different story. Remember, we finished this with this last time, that Reb Chiya saw somebody in the Beis HaKvaris. He said to him, "What's going on? Aren't you a Kohen?" And he said, "Unfortunately, I'm a Kohen Cholol because my father married a divorcee, which was totally asa to do as a Kohen. And as a result, I'm a Kohen Cholol, which means the halachas of Tumas Kohenim to actually don't refer to me." That was how we ended up with the Gemara. Now, the Shaila is, what on earth has this got to do with the subject that we're talking about? So if you have a look at Rashi, we're not going to learn the whole Rashi, but I'd like to see the beginning of Rashi. Have a look. It's a very, very lengthy Rashi. Reb Chiya Chazye. Reb Chiya Chazye. It says Rashi, you have the Rashi, Loi Ispare Shlon. It's not entirely explain to us, my boya hocha. What is this doing over here? What's this doing over here? Why is this story as important as it is? Why is it being mentioned over here? Venira be'enai, says Rashi, it would appear in my eyes that the following explanation is the correct one. The ha'asal ashminon is coming to teach us. Who was the one paskening the shayla? The Gemara says it was Reb Chiya. Reb Chiya was the one who was paskening the shayla. Reb Chiya was the one who met him in the Beis HaKvaros, and he was the one who said you shouldn't be here until he was told he was a Kohen Cholol. So Rashi says it would seem to me that the juxtapositioning is as follows: the Ha'asel Ashminon is coming to teach us. Af al gav de Rebbe Chiya Talmidoi de Rebbe. Have a comma. Even though Reb Chiya is actually a Talmud of Rebbe, ubemakoymoi de Rebbe have a comma, and this is actually the town, the place of Reb Chiya, of Rebbe. So therefore, this is in fact very much connected to our sugya. Reb Chiya is busy paskening a shayla, telling him that he should not be here because he's a Kohen. And this is actually Rebbe's place, and Reb Chiya is a Talmud of Rebbe. And we just learned one line previous that a Talmud is not allowed to be Meir Halacha b'fnei Rabbi. So this is very, very much connected to the previous Gemara. So how indeed did he allow himself to do so? How is he allowed to paskin the shayla and tell him that you can't be in the Beis HaKvaros because you're a Kohen? Surely Reb Chiya is a Talmud of Rebbe, and Rebbe living there means that the Reb Chiya, the Talmud, can't paskin shaylas. Says Rashi, no. Nonetheless, loy cholak loy kovoid le Rebbe. Even though this story taking place with Reb Chiya, the Talmud, happened in the vicinity of Rebbe, but Reb Chiya nonetheless did not accord kavod to Rebbe, meaning he was perfectly prepared to paskin a shayla even in front of Rebbe. How could that be? Milahafrish zeh min ha'isa, in order to ensure that this person would not be over an aveir. So Rashi tells us a very important principle, which is not Rashi's chiddush; it's a Gemara in Eruvin. De le'inyan afrushi mi isura, Because with regard to being pirish, to being mafresh, to prevent somebody from being over an Issa, ein kan meira halacha lefnei rabbi. There is no issue of paskining a shaila in front of one's rabbi, kada amrinon, as we say, beperek ha-dorim anochri, which is an Erevin. Meaning, if somebody asks me a shaila, is my spoon tray full, milky, or whatever it is? And I tell them, yep, it's treif. Or if they ask me another shaila, do I have to be machmir to light my candles in Hanukkah over here or over there? So then we get involved in an issue of being meira halacha b'fnei rabbi, that I wouldn't be allowed to paskin. None of us would be allowed to paskin if our rabbi is over here. But if I see somebody who is being involved in an avera, he's currently engaged in an act which is an issa. So why am I paskening a shayla to him in order to prevent him being over that issa? That's muta even b'fnei rabbi. So therefore, when Reb Chiya sees this kohen in the Beis HaKvaras, so what's he telling him? That you're actually at the moment involved in an Issa, because you're allowed to be here. Every single second that you're here, you're over an Issa d'Oraisa. So that's called la'afrushi mi'isura, to stop somebody being over an Issa. If somebody's not being over an Issa, he's got a spoon and he doesn't know whether it became meaty or milky. So he's not involved in any Issa at the moment. Question is, does it need to be kashered? Does it not need to be kashered? Fine, so I defer to my Rebbe, let my Rebbe paskin. But when he's currently at the moment being involved in an Issa, and every moment that he lapses, he's being engaged in more and more and more Isurim, well, then you've got to stop him at the moment. So therefore, that's why Reb Chiya was allowed to paskin in Shaila. And that's why Rashi says, that's why the Gemara is bringing this story over here. Because it's not the content of the story which is relevant to our sugya, but rather it's the nature of the psak. We're not learning halachas over here of kohanim or beis hakvaras or grusha. That's not our subject. But our subject is paskening a shayla in front of the Rebbe. So the Gemara is teaching us that even though a Talmud cannot pasken a shayla in front of the Rebbe, however, if it's la'afrushi mi'isura, if it's going to prevent an issa, and then you're allowed to paskin a shayla in front of your Rebbe. In other words, if you think your Rebbe is going to, he's either engaged in an issa at the moment, or if you think that the Rebbe is making a mistake and the person's actually going to be over an issa, then you're allowed to be meira halacha even b'fnei Rabbi.
Is this halacha b'fnei Rabbi in the same town, if he's standing there in the same...
Yeah, Mara says, gimel parasois.
Isn't there a concept if your Rav even tells you the wrong thing to do, you're supposed to do it? No. Isn't it a Rashi like that? If it says to go left, you go right.
That's not the Gabbah Halacha. If he tells you something which you think is the opposite, you have to listen. But if he tells you, I want you now to be Chalal Shabbos, and you know the truth, then Chas V'Shalom, you don't have to listen to him. Even if a Novi tells you to be Chalal Shabbos, you're not allowed to listen. If you want to hear a mind-blowing, phenomenal kasha will knock you off your socks, then listen to this kasha. I'm going to share with you a kasha which is such a genius, such a goyness, just to think of it, that will be mamash blown away. What was the most famous episode of being Meira Halacha B'Fnei Rabbi? The most famous episode of being Meira Halacha B'Fnei Rabbi, the Gemara tells us, remember, the little boy Shmuel, who's destined to become Shmuel Hanavi, is brought to the Beis HaMikdash, and he sees Eli HaKoyen about to be Makrev a Korban. And the Gemara says that Eli was looking for a Koyen to Shech the Korban. So little Shmuel, as a three-year-old boy, all of a sudden says, one moment, why must you look for a Koyen? Shchita Keshera Bazar. You don't have to have a kohen for shechita. You only have to have a kohen for after the shechita to be makabel the dam and to be zayrek the dam. But shechita, as we know, is not part of the avodah of the korban, And even a non-Kayin can also shech the carbon. And if that was Shmuel's Ha'ara, why is Eli a Kayin looking for a Kayin Shechita K'sheira B'zal? So Eli turned around and said, you're 100% right. However, that's the Gemara. That's the most famous incident of being Meir Halacha B'fnei Rabbi. So let me share with you a kasha of the Chasam Sofer. We know, we're going off subject, but there's such a brilliant kasha that it's kedai to share. This will be our Oineg Chanukah. We know that when Kohenim do Avoido, they wear big day kahuna. They wear big day kahuna. Now, one of the chidushim that we find in big day kahuna is that actually in the belt, the avnate of the kohen, there's actually shatnas. It's made out of tzemer and pishtom, linen and wool together. But the Torah says that's the way it's got to be. So obviously, a kohen, whilst doing the avodah, is allowed to wear the avnate, even though it's got shatnas, because the Torah is giving special dispensation that, for whatever reason, is part and parcel of the mitzvah of wearing the belt. Okay. Does that mean that the kohen can put on this avnate whenever he likes? Can he go to shul on Shabbos morning wearing his avnate with shatnas? Obviously not. It's a deraisa. He does the hell get malchus. Why? Because it's only a heter whilst performing the avodah. Whilst performing the avodah. Now, there is a machloikus to the Rambam and the Ravid. Some are of the opinion that he's allowed to wear it at any time in the Beis HaMikdash, even if it's not at the time of avodah. But others hold that no, it's only at the time of Avodah. If he's not involved in Avodah, even if he's in the Beis HaMikdash, he's not allowed to wear the Avnit. Asks the Chasam Sofer the following quite mind-blowing question. Eli HaKohen is looking for a Kohen to do the Shechita. Until Shmuel points out that you don't need to because Shechita K'sheira B'zar. So Eli HaKohen clearly forgot that halacha. And he thinks that what? He thinks that Shechita is actually part and parcel of the avoider of the carbon. It's not. And that's why you don't need a Kohen at all. The avoider of the carbon only begins after the Shechita. But Eli made a mistake in this and he thought that Shechita is a part and parcel of the avoider of the carbon. Presumably that means, therefore, if he maintains that it's the avoida of the carbon, and for that reason he was looking for a kohen, well, clearly he's going to demand that the kohen who shechts the carbon has to put on big day kahuna. Because during all avoida, you have to wear big day kahuna. If you do avoida without big day kahuna, it's not your, the whole avoida is possible. So when he was looking for a kohen to do the shechita, which is because he clearly maintained, albeit mistakenly, that the Shechita is part of the Avodah, well, he clearly maintained also that you're going to have to wear Big Day Kahuna. So here comes the $64 million question. If Eli HaKohen is about to put Big Day Kahuna on a Kohen, but Shechita is actually not part of the Avodah, and if Shechita is not part of the Avodah, then a Kohen is not allowed, not just he's not required, he's not allowed to wear the Big Day Kohuna. Why not? Because the Avnate has got shatness in it. And even though it's in the Beis HaMikdash, as we said, there's one opinion of the Rambam, that there's no heter whatsoever to wear the belt, even if you're in the Beis HaMikdash, unless you're involved in Avodah. Says the Chasam Sofer, how can Shmuel be criticized for being Moira Locha b'fnei Rabboi? But didn't we just learn now in this Rashi that La'afrushi me'isura to prevent somebody from being over an Issa, you're allowed to be Meir Halacha b'fnei Rabbi. So Shmuel Anovi, by pointing out that this is not Avodah, he was actually doing what? He was being Mafrish Misura, because he was going to prevent a Kohen wearing an Avnet Shaloi b'shas Avodah. So why was he Chayav Misa for being Meir Halacha b'fnei Rabbi? He was causing Lafrushim Misura.
Because maybe he didn't, he wasn't concentrating on the fact that maybe he wasn't trying to prevent the Yisr.
But that's what he's doing.
But Lechatchila, that's not what he was saying. He wasn't saying, you know, by the way, if he does this, he's going to be over an Yisr, so therefore I'm going to be
involved in the consequences. Says there's no need to look for a Kohen. So I don't know what his Kavanas are. I can't kill him now, Misafik. Well, maybe that's not what he had in mind. Well, maybe it was. That is the quite phenomenal kasha of the Chasam Sefer. How can Shmuel be criticized for being Meir Halacha b'fnei Rabbi? But surely it's La'afrushim Mi'isura, he's preventing an Issa. Which Issa is he preventing? He's preventing the Kohen wearing the Avnet, which has shatness in it. Shaloi b'shas Avodah. It's a phenomenal kasha. There's a lot to discuss about this kasha, but it's not our subject. But Al Capone, I thought everybody would enjoy this kasha very much. Okay, let's go back to our subject now. Back into the Gemara. Do you have the Gemara where it says Pshita? The first word on the line is V'chiloloi. We're going back to our subject. Our subject was receiving Rashus in order to Paskin. Eretz Yisrael, Bavel. Now, if you remember, we saw that what does it mean, Rashus? The Rebbe can tell him, Yoira, Yoira, Yodin, Yodin. What about Bechayrois? In fact, we saw cases in which he was given permission to Paskin some Shailas, but not others. Remember, we saw one case where he was given permission to paskan shailas of Yoira Yoira and Yodin Yodin, but not to be Mati Bukhiris. So the Gemara says, you see from over there, Pshita, that's clear. Lepalga, half permission. Does there exist the concept of receiving half permission? What does it mean, half permission? Permission to paskan in some areas of halacha, but not in others. Well, yes, clearly that does exist. Because we had that case before, says the Gemara. Pshita lapalga, if it's just for half, not 100% smicha or rishus, ha ka'oma, we have already said, the mahani, comma, that this helps. Yes, it does exist. Have a look at Rashi, on the very, very last narrow line. Lepalga kagoin de yohiv lehu rashusa. For example, he gave him rashus lemeidan to judge shailas lahalocha, but veloi lahatir b'chayres, but not to be matir issue b'chayres, as we saw early on in the Gemara, and that clearly exists. So we don't say it's all or nothing. There can be, under some circumstances, cases in which we say yes. He's given permission for some areas of halacha, but not for others. That's pshita, that's absolutely clear. We've had a story to demonstrate that. However, what's not so clear, says the Gemara, al tanai mai, question mark. Can you have limited smicha? Yes, we've already said that you can. Can you have conditional smicha? What does that mean, conditional smicha al tanai? Look at Rashi. Says Rashi al tanai kagoin ad shono oy ad shnosayim velo yoise, for a year or two, but not more. Does there exist the concept of you have received rashus to Paskin Shailas for a certain duration of time? That's what it means. It's conditional, meaning it's only for 1 year, or only for 2 years. It's limited in time. So we've definitely seen that you can limit the smicha to certain areas of halacha as opposed to others. But can you limit the smicha, the rishus, in time? L'havdil elef avdolis. When I got my driving license, it says on it, it's valid till. It's not now a carte blanche, you can drive a car till you're 120. It's only until you're the age of 70, till 2047. So that's the Shaila L'Havdil. That's what the Gemara is asking. Does there exist a concept of receiving rishus to paskan shailas, but only for a limited duration of time? That's the Gemara Shaila. Says the Gemara, Toshima, yes, we can back this up. We can prove this with a story. Rabbi Yochanan said to Rav Shemen, Hare ato birshusenu, we are giving you rishus to paskan shailas, ad, until which particular time, ad shetovoy etzleinu, until you come back to us. What does that mean, until you come back to us? Look at Rashi, l'Rav Shemen on the third line. Kishahoyo poyresh mimenu, when Rav Shemen left the Yorad Lubavel, so he was now leaving his Rebbe, so he was given permission. However, birshusenu, rishus nesuna lecha lodun, permission is being granted to you to judge, to paskin, but not forever, only until you come back to us. Why he limited it until that time, I don't know. It's irrelevant to our discussion, but you see that it does exist, such a concept. So we've now seen that this issue of rishus can be limited in one of two ways. It can either be limited to certain areas of halacha as opposed to others, such that somebody can be told you can paskan shailas in Yeridea or Cheshamishpot, but not in the area of b'chayros. Now we've seen also that it can be limited to the extent of time that it's valid for. You can paskan shailas until such point that you come back. When you come back, for whatever reason, you're no longer qualified to paskan shailas.
But that's not a time issue. That's a location issue.
Yeah, that's time. Until that point.
No, it's not. Time is in 1 month from now, whatever. This is a location. This is a location issue.
Location.
This is saying, while you're in Babel, you can't do it.
You can paskan shailas. When you come back, then do a location. This is how long it lasts, as long as you are not with us. So you see, you could put limits on the smicha. That's the chiddush of the Gemara. You could put limits on the smicha. It's not that once you have smicha, it's carte blanche to paskin, whatever you like, for however long you like. No, we could put limitations on it. There is a very, very large movement at the moment, or there was in recent times, to clamp down on the whole issue of giving certification to Sofrim, to a Sofer Stam. There was a huge meeting of several Rabbonim, tens and tens of Rabbonim. Actually, it was in the Gra Shul, in the hall downstairs, about a year ago or so, where the Rabbonim, predominantly all the Rabbonim in Bet Shemesh, but Rabbonim came from Bnei Brak and Yerushalayim to try and be mechazik this issue, in which they insisted that we should introduce, and this should become now common policy, that one does not buy tefillin or mezuzos or any such thing unless it's a sefer who has official certification, and this certification has to be updated every so often. And they were going to give limitations. Updated means that the sefer has to be tested. Just because you knew the halachas 3 years ago, maybe by now you've become lax and you don't know them, so it has to have regular testing. So there you see an example of somebody who can have rishus, not to paskan shailas, but at least to become a sofer, but it's not unlimited for a certain amount of time until this certification expires. I know somebody came to my uncle. I have an uncle in London who was a rabbi in United Synagogue. And he said to my uncle, oh, you won't believe the great bargain that I just got. So what was the great bargain you got? He said, well, my son is turning bar mitzvah, and I managed to find online a pair of tefillin for him for $29, including postage and package. Fine. Dayan Aaron Troy, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, the great Dayan in London, and Rabbi Yosef was very, very close to him. who just passed away, as you know, recently. Rabbi Yosef, if you knew this.
Yeah, of course.
You knew that Dayan Aaron Trey passed away.
Sure, yes.
Passed away about a month ago, maybe even less.
Yes.
So he was the head, amongst other things, of the London Beis Din for many, 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 many years. In fact, it was my grandfather, my wife's grandfather, Rabbi Jacobowitz, who brought him to be the head of the London Beis Din. My wife's grandfather was the chief rabbi, and he brought him to be the head of the London Beis Din. So he once told the story, he told it at a dinner, actually, famous dinner. So he actually said that somebody once came to the Beis Din. A woman came to the Beis Din, irreligious, and she said, I was just told, I've never heard of this halacha. I was just told that every so often you've got to take your mezuzahs down and have them checked. I never knew this, but okay. So I took the mezuzahs down from all of my doors and I'm presenting them to the Beis Din, and please could you check them for me? So then I opened the mezuzahs, and in every single one of the mezuzah cases, there was no mezuzah. There was just a case, but there's no mezuzah in it. So he asked her delicately, he said, if you don't mind me asking, that did not see that wasn't there a parchment, a paper inside the mezuzah case? So she said, oh, that, what, the instruction manual? Yeah, I threw that out years ago. Famous story with Dayan Entry. Okay. Back to our Gemara. Says the Gemara, Gufa. Omar Shmuel. Remember we had this a while back. Shnayim Shedonu Dinehem Din. There exists a concept of even two people actually forming a Beis Din, however, Elo Shenikra Beis Din Chotzuf. It's called a brazen Beis Din. What does that mean, a brazen Beis Din? I mean, maybe it's not a lechatchila thing to do, but certainly if two people judge, that has validity. That has validity. Yosef Rav Nachman v'ka'omar lahosh maitzes. Rav Nachman sat and he repeated this halacha. So they asked the following kasha. Eis ve'irovel Rav Nachman. Rav asked the following question to Rav Nachman. We have a Mishnah later on that says as follows. Afilu shnayim mezakin. Oy shnayim mechayvin, ve'echod oymar eini yoidea. What's the halacha if you have three people on a Beis Din? Two of them say he's guilty, or two of them say he's innocent, and the third one says, I cannot come to a conclusion, I don't know. Now, if you remember early on in the perek, we have learned that normally, if you have three people in a Beis Din, all I need is a majority verdict. So if two say one direction, even if the other one argues vehemently, but you go with the roiv. But some opinions hold you've got to have a unanimous verdict. A unanimous verdict. Remember, we once saw that halacha that the Gemar Din has to be with three. So the Mishnah says there that what happens if the Gemar Din was not with three? You had two, and they were clear in their psak. The third one could not come to a conclusion. So the Mishnah there says, what do you do? Yoisifu hadayonim. So you add another dayan to the Beis Din. You bring a fourth man, because the third who could not paskin is now irrelevant. So you bring a fourth dayan, and let's see if he can now come to a clear conclusion. That's the Mishnah. Problem is, one second, if you tell me that two people who judge, essentially that constitutes a Beis Din. So who in the world cares if the third one couldn't come to a conclusion? But I've got two, says the Gemara, the Isa. But if you would hold of the statement we said before, that essentially two is actually enough, then lehavu kashnayim shadonu. Let it be as if two people judged in the first place. And when you only have two, maybe they shouldn't have done so. But once they've done so, they're paskind. So why would I now need to add an extra dayan to the Beis Din in order to get to the magic number three? But surely two is also valid. So the Gemara says a chiddush. The Gemara says, no. Shani hosam, over there is different. the Meikara, because from the beginning, Adaita the Tlosa Yesivi. The intention was to form a three-man Bezdin. Hocha Lav Adaita the Tlosa Yesivi. That was not the Kavana. Meaning, can two people constitute a Bezdin? And the answer is, if two Dayonim sit together to form a Bezdin, that forms a Bezdin. Should they do that lechatchila? No, it's a Bezdin chotzer. But if they do, it has validity. But when three Dayonim converge to form a Bezdin, then you cannot suddenly say, well, at least two is good enough because two is also a Bezdin. That's when, from the outset, there were only two Dayonim who formed the Bezdin. But when three Dayonim form the Bezdin, then the Mishnah maintains you have to have three all forming a unanimous psak.
Yeah, because if the client is coming and saying, I'm going to Bezdin, well, it's only a Bezdin of two. No, I'm only going to a Bezdin of three.
Right, that's his prerogative, 100%.
So now he goes to a Bezdin of three, and the guy says, well, one guy is, but Bezdin of two is a Bezdin. I wouldn't have agreed to go to a Bezdin if you would have told me from the outset that it was a Bezdin of two.
Right, 100%. And that's what the Gemara is saying. That if they form, there's a Bezdin of three. So then if there are only two Dayan in Paskin, well, that's only two out of three. Had they initially agreed from the outset that two would suffice, then indeed two would suffice.
Right.
Okay, we're going to hold it over here. I wish everybody a Chanukah Sameach, wish the Besuras Tevis and Yeshua to everybody in Mitzvah Hashem. And we look forward to convening tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Davin is going to.